In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're looking at my Catholic faith. What lesson are we on? I can't find it.
65.
There, I knew I put a marker here. Lesson 65, Services of the Church to the State. And before that, it has eminent Catholics, where we normally have an image. It has text here. The pages of history are filled with the names of Catholics outstanding in literature, science, art, progress, and learning of every description. The following is only a partial list of those who were known alike for their devotion to the Catholic faith and their contributions to art and science. Okay, so I'm not going to attempt to read all those names, but there is eminent Catholics in astronomy, biology, botany, chemistry, electricity, geology, mathematics, mechanics, music, medicine, navigation and exploration, painting and sculpture, physics, printing, and warfare. Okay, so we have Catholics involved in pretty much every aspect of life, and these were men who were outstanding in their field, but also were devout Catholics. And I don't know many of these languages, so I'm afraid I would butcher more of these names than I would get correctly, so I'll let you read them for yourself. We will continue on with the services of the Church to the State. Of what benefit is the Church to the State? The Church is essential for the welfare of the State, for it upholds the government, directs its members to obey just laws, prevents crimes, incites to the practice of civic virtues, encourages to noble endeavor, and unites different nations in one brotherhood. There is no better citizen than a good Catholic. He obeys the state because his religion teaches him that all lawful authority comes from God. Who can be a more law-abiding citizen than one who looks upon civil officials as superiors that God himself bids him obey? Plutarch says that religion is a better protection for a city than its walls. The Church teaches its children to make sacrifices for the common good. Thus it trains unselfish, thrifty, and industrious members of the state. A man with no religion seldom makes a good citizen. He is liable to try always to get as much as he can, even at the expense of others. A man without religion generally ends without any morality whatever. The prisons are in general peopled not by practicing members of the Church, but by people who neglected religion. Only God knows the number of those who have been turned from the paths of sin and crime on account of their connection with the Church. The Church not only prevents crimes, but incites to works of charity. It teaches the merit of works of mercy. From its teachings bud forth orphanages, schools, hospitals, social service, etc. The greatest statesmen and patriots have recognized the necessity of religion in the state. Without religion among its citizens, the state would soon collapse. The Catholic Church teaches the best religion, the one taught by God Himself. Washington said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, this firmest props of the duties of men and citizens." Machiavelli wrote, "The surest sign of ruin in a state is the neglect of religion. Napoleon himself confessed that no nation could endure without religion. By a common profession of faith, a common membership in the same body, and the commandment of charity, the Church binds different nations in one brotherhood, the brotherhood of men, children of one God. Such a feeling of brotherhood would help greatly towards eliminating sectional and racial prejudices and strife. Is it not a historical fact that national quarrels and wars have increased since the division of Christendom into sects? Today the term brotherhood of men seems to be a mere figure of speech in which most people have no faith. What has the Church actually accomplished for the state during the over 1900 years of its existence? The history of all civilized nations gives ample testimony to the valuable services of the Church to civil government during a period of over 1900 years. The greatest accomplishment of the Church was the Christianization of Europe. From thence we have derived whatever we today call civilization. If we compare the truly Christian civilization with pagan life and culture, we can see the greatness of the service of the Church has rendered the state. Ignorance and immorality are usually partners. For this reason, the Church eagerly promotes culture. The Church looks upon the world as coming from the hand of God. Therefore, the Church is interested in science. The Church has always striven to provide schools for the education of the young. It founded great universities. From the very beginning, the missions, parish monasteries, and cathedrals had schools. No less than 80 universities were built in the days when the Pope was supreme in Christendom. Of these, many still exist, though under different control. The encouragement given by the popes advanced education, medicine, surgery, literature, chemistry, mathematics, and other sciences. Numerous religious orders and congregations have from earliest times devoted themselves to education. The Church preserved the great works of ancient heathen philosophers and historians, saving them from destruction for future ages. In the Middle Ages, before the invention of printing, monks patiently and carefully copied and transcribed the ancient works. Their zeal for learning built up great libraries and museums. The most profound and prolific authors were Catholic. So great a patron of art and architecture is the Church that a saying became current: there is no art outside the Catholic Church. Practically all the world's classic painters have been members of the Church and were supported in their work by the popes. We need only mention Raphael, Da Vinci, and Michelangelo. To this day, thousands of tourists every year gaze in wonder at the great cathedrals of the Middle Ages, which stand unsurpassed. The popes encourage musicians like Palestrina, plain chant, or Gregorian music comes to us from St. Ambrose and St. Gregory the Great. The noblest musical works are products of the genius of sons of the Church, of whom we need mention only Haydn, Mozart, and Verdi. Priests and monks, not to mention lay members of the Church, have contributed some of the greatest discoveries to human knowledge. In physical science, the deacon Gioja discovered the magnet and compass. The Jesuit Kircher experimented with the first burning glass. The canon Copernicus taught his famous system. The Jesuit Cavalier worked out the components of white light. The Jesuit Secchi made fruitful studies concerning sunspots. The Franciscan Berthold Schwartz discovered gunpowder. Other scientific works by priests and monks: the Dominican Spina discovered the use of spectacles. The Benedictine Pontius invented a method of teaching deaf mutes. The Dominican Calandoni invented a typesetter to take the place of the compositor. The Mangavait discovered the scale and rules of harmony of music. Pope Gregory XIII reformed the calendar. I guess the Franciscans were the ones who gave us the Second Amendment because they invented gunpowder, discovered gunpowder, huh? I thought the Franciscans were peaceful. I know, there are peaceful uses for gunpowder. The Church helped establish free and stable governments. It civilized the barbarians. Through the Benedictines, Cistercians, and Trappists, it reclaimed the whole tracts of wastelands. The Church cared for the poor, the sick, the orphan, the old, and helpless. It opened hospitals, ransomed captives, and freed slaves. Pope Innocent III is known as the father of hospitals. Who but the Church insisted on the dignity of the soul of even the poorest slave in an age when class distinctions were rampant? Who but the Church rescued women from degradation and formed that beautiful institution, the Christian family? The Church stood for the liberties of the people against the encroachments of tyrants. It has ever stood for the poor against the oppressions of the rich. It has stood for the maintenance of authority against the violence of rebellious subjects. The whole history of Christian civilization has the mark of the Church. Any questions or comments? I do have a couple things that I intended, if I don't forget what they were now. The Church emphasized the fact that this world was created by God, and the entire idea of science is that we can discover God by looking at His creation and by understanding what God has made and delving into the intricacies of the things that God has made. We actually come to an understanding of God. And so science and religion are not two incompatible things, but the scientists have always, the great thinkers have always thought of religion and science as going hand in hand, because our great discoveries, our great inventions, are all attempts to understand this world that God has given us, this world that God has sent man on to go forth and subdue the earth, to discover these things, to develop these things, to see what uses they are good for, how to draw the most or the best products from this earth for the advancement of mankind, not just for the benefit of a few or the elite, but for all of mankind. So these discoveries, these inventions, these developments were pursued, one for the pursuit of knowledge for itself, but also with a religious aspect, coming to the knowledge and an understanding of God and the will of God through the things that He has created. But there is also the motive that they did these things for the betterment of mankind, to find out why that our garden produces less and less every year. We need to come to the realization that we need to fertilize it, or we need to rotate our crops, or we need to change it up because we have drawn all the nutrients out of the ground that can support this crop. But maybe there's enough nutrients for another crop. So these ideas, this thought process is truly Catholic. And it comes from the Church, and the great monks were the ones who developed this. And I know we like to point to the alleged pagans or the non-believers and the great efforts that they've made in the discovery of the sciences. But very often, if you look into the history a little closer, you see that they came after the fact. You know that Gregor Mendel came before Darwin. Gregor Mendel already saw the hand of God in genetics and how God has laid out these things, and he discovered inheritance, and it is later that Darwin comes along. And what Darwin is promoting, atheistic evolution, if you will. I'm not even certain that's what Darwin was promoting, but that's what they want to tell us in the classrooms, that this is what Darwin was promoting. It flies directly opposed to the entire scientific method. He's coming forth with a conclusion, not just a thesis, but a conclusion before he's even tested it. And it's like Bishop Lewis used to joke about so many people. They say, my mind is made up. Now give me some facts to prove my conclusion. They don't first look at the evidence and draw conclusions. They make their conclusion, and then they start looking for ways to support it. And this is really contrary to the truth. It is contrary to science. It is contrary to the church altogether. The church is the proponent of education, civil order, civil peace. And I see what's happening today is that there is the complete, you might say, reversal of all of this. We still hold on to the idea that we need education, but I think education has taken on a very negative connotation, a very negative flavor, that it has become more indoctrination than education. It has become more of a babysitter than an educator. And we want our children handed over to the state to be indoctrinated earlier and earlier. And I don't believe that is the Catholic ideal at all. The Catholic ideal is for the parents to be the primary educators with the assistance of the church, and that we need to look for God in all of these things. If you take God out of education, I think you've basically ruined education. You know, there is no incentive to be good, to be fair, or to be right or just if we have no morality. And if we don't have religion, we don't have morality. If we don't have morality, we do not really have any education. There's no doubt that children will learn, but we will learn evil things much easier, much more quickly than we will learn good things or useful things. Everyone learns early how to destroy, how to tear down, but to build something up that is useful, something that is good, something that is productive, requires a motive that is beyond ourselves. If our motive is simply our own selfish interest, then we're headed downhill. And I think we're insinuating to children, if not directly telling them, that they have to be interested only in themselves. If it feels good to them, then they should do it. Do what feels good, do what you want to do, don't let anybody tell you any different. You have rights. I think this is a bad message, and this is not the message of the church, but it is the message of false religion. It is the message of demonism in the world, because the church is always there to tell us we must develop our talents. We must develop our gifts for the greater honor and glory of God, for the salvation of our fellow men, for the betterment of society and the world in which we live in. We want the world to be better for each and every person who has come into this world. And everyone in this world has value. And that by no means insinuates that we are all equal, that we are all of equal value, we are all equal in the eyes of God, that we have been given an immortal soul, but in this life we are very different. And God has given talents and gifts and different measures to different individuals. And my message to many young people, actually to all young people if they would listen, is that they need to discover the vocation that God is calling them to. They need to find the gifts that God has given them, and they need to develop those gifts to the best of their ability. In whatever field it is that God has given them this gift, this talent, they need to excel in that. They need to be productive in that so that, as St. Paul would say, we work hard so that we have something to give to those who have less. And so we put forth the effort in our particular vocation, and that will benefit all of those around us. And we in turn will benefit from those around us pursuing their particular talent and having this gift that they have been given to share with all others. I tell young people there is no shame in being ignorant. There's a shame in being stupid, that is, not learning from your mistakes, but we cannot know everything. And so there is a blessing in having people who will dedicate their life to studying medicine, so that when we are sick or we need help, we have an expert that we can go to for assistance. Just as there is a need for the trash collector, the street sweepers, whatever it may be, the janitorial service, a lawyer, policeman, fireman, whatever vocation we do, it has to be done for the service of our fellow men, out of love for our fellow men. And I think this is the idea the church has promoted throughout history, but because of the splintering of the church into all these Protestant denominations, strike the shepherd and the flock is scattered, I see that chaos has entered really every aspect of our lives today. I see corruption in the education system, in the monetary system, in the government system, in the healthcare system. And I wonder, where are the Catholics in these organizations who are going to stand up and be Catholic and not follow along with the immoral practices in whatever field they're in just because everybody else is doing it? We need individuals who can think, who can reason rightly what is good, what is bad, and to take that stand and be willing to die for it. In the early days of the church, we had the martyrs who would say, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to change my beliefs, and you can kill me if you want, but it's not going to change what I believe. You can torture me, you can offer me bribes, but I will not change my position, because the truth is the truth, and the truth can't be bought, it can't be coerced. It is the truth, and it is something that is subjective, or objective rather than subjective. And I think today we've gone to an opposite extreme where we want to think that truth has become subjective and you can be whatever you want to be regardless of what biology God has created, the sexes that God has created. We want to imagine that we are our own gods and we can do whatever we want. We can imagine ourselves to be whatever we want to imagine, and somehow we are magically made into those things. I think we've watched too much Disney, too many fairy tales, and it's time for us to get back to reality, that just because we wish something doesn't make it happen. You want to accomplish something in this world, it requires effort, it requires hard work. It truly requires us to follow Christ, to take up our cross daily, deny ourselves, and follow Him. Okay. Any questions, comments? Then we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at Thy hand whatever kind of death it may please Thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen. Let's see if we can.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good night.